Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. We live in a beautiful part of the world that attracts tourists and second homeowners. And while these individuals contribute greatly to our economy, they also drive up the price of real estate and reduce the availability of year-round housing. It's not just low-income wage earners who are affected. Workers in the middle-income bracket also struggle to find and afford housing in our region. Two nonprofits have teamed up to help boost affordable housing production. They're calling it the Cape Housing Institute. And joining us to discuss affordable housing and potential solutions is Jay Coburn. He's CEO of the Community Development Partnership and one of the creators of the Housing Institute. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Great to be here.
And Laura Reckford, who's Director of Community Relations at the Housing Assistance Corporation, the other nonprofit heading up the Housing Institute. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
And Heather Harper, Community Design Affordable Housing Specialist with the Cape Cod Commission. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning, Mindy.
All right, so Jay, tell us about the Housing Institute program, and you know what, it starts pretty soon. Who can participate? All that kind of stuff.
Sure. So, just a little context: we had been working on a project in Eastham that has garnered a lot of publicity and a fair amount of controversy because, you know, everybody loves affordable housing until it has an address
next to you.
Yes,
right?
And so. Out of that experience, it just really struck me that municipal officials were really ill-prepared to deal with a pretty large, complicated development. And that what we were doing was asking elected officials and volunteer members of housing authorities and community preservation committees and planning boards to be engaged in pretty complicated projects without really providing them with the background and the experience and the skills and the knowledge to be able to do that. And so this whole idea of doing a CAPE community housing initiative came about. And the first component is the Housing Institute. In January, we're going to do a training for regular citizens to be activists and advocates for affordable housing. And then want to try to do a public media campaign in the spring so that people really have an understanding of who our neighbors are who need affordable housing. So the Housing Institute starts in just 2 weeks, October 11th. And it's a six-part series of workshops for select board members, planning board members, zoning board, community preservation committee members, housing authority, housing trust members, where we're going to really delve deeply, bringing in speakers in collaboration with Mass Housing Partnership to help build the capacity of town staff and town volunteers to be able to make smarter, more strategic decisions when it comes to creating affordable housing in our communities.
Mm. So, Laura, how did you Housing Assistance Corporation get involved in this? And you have some, you're going to be rolling out some other initiatives along with this, right?
And Jay had mentioned the other initiatives, which is the advocacy training coming up in early 2018 and the media campaign coming up in the spring of 2018. And we got started on this because we have a new CEO, Elisa Galazzi, and in the course of meeting the different people involved in the housing sector and other nonprofit sectors on the Cape back in the winter, she met up with Jay, was probably one of the first people she met up with, and I think he might have mentioned thinking about this, and he was thinking about it for the Cape towns, Harwich out to Provincetown, because those are the parts of the Cape that the CDP deals with, whereas Housing Assistance Corporation, where we deal with Bourne out to Provincetown and plus the islands, she thought, well, can we partner on this? And then that way we can offer the Institute to all 15 towns on the Cape, elected and appointed municipal leaders from throughout the Cape. And so he very nicely agreed. So we partnered on. And so between the two agencies, we're extending the invitation out to all municipal leaders on Cape Cod, elected and appointed on these various boards, as well as town staff. We have some town managers who've signed up, town planners. And so we want anyone involved with housing and planning to feel welcome to come. It actually starts in 8 days, next Wednesday. And also elected and appointed municipal leaders who, as Jay said, we know these are volunteers, very, very dedicated volunteers on the Cape who do these jobs. Mm-hmm. They go to these long meetings, and they're not necessarily experts in everything that comes before them. And housing, affordable housing being so complicated, we thought that there might be an interest in people wanting to try to become a little more schooled in the in affordable housing because it is so complicated, yeah. particularly the financing of it. What people asked a lot when we were starting to talk this up earlier in the summer was, do you know if people will be interested? And Jay said, absolutely, they're going to be interested. I wasn't sure. And we announced it in June, and that weekend, 100 people signed up. So we realized people are interested.
What about the islands? Are the islands included in this?
They are allowed to come to the, particularly the upper and mid Cape sessions. We'll have space for some island people. We have a handful of people on Nantucket and a handful of people on the Vineyard who have expressed interest.
Right. Heather, the Cape Cod Commission works on a number of different issues affecting the region as a whole. How would you describe the role of the Cape Cod Commission when it comes to this lack of affordable housing? What's the commission involved in?
It's a great way to start the conversation. Really, the commission's role is to anticipate and guide development across the Cape. And I think we can all acknowledge that across the nation, in the region, in Massachusetts and on Cape Cod, we really haven't tended to our housing supply for the last 30 years. So our role really is to work at the regional level on a planning approach, how we can strategize and develop strategic plans for the region to help address the needs of affordable housing and housing affordability across the Cape. And the first way we do that is fact-based planning. So we began with the first housing market analysis on Cape Cod that was just released last month in September. And what that really does is demonstrate the consequences of not focusing on your housing supply and what some of the socioeconomic impacts are, as well as what some of the environmental impacts are of not really focusing on housing as part of the regional demands in Barnstable County.
So what did the analysis tell us? What did you learn?
Well, there's something for everyone here is one thing. What we learned in terms of housing demand, there's an existing need for about 27,000 housing units right now based on 2015 data, that there are 27,000 households earning 80% of the median income or less who are housing stressed or pay more than 30% of their income on housing. So that's the existing conditions. We know that there's a strong unmet need for affordable housing and housing affordability. But what we've also learned is that as we look forward to 2025, that the greatest increase in housing stress is for those earning 100% of the median income or more. So as we know, the Outer Cape region, Provincetown, East Hamtramck, they've been experiencing those housing demands for a long time. But looking at the Mid-Cape and Upper Cape, we see that same consequence moving upwards towards Bourne, with the greatest increase in housing stress occurring in the town of Bourne for those earning 100 and 120% of the median income.
So we're not meeting the demand, and this gap is widening, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we should take a moment to sort of define affordable housing, because we hear these terms, affordable housing, workforce housing, and I think people get confused on what that means.
So, you know, I think there is a lot of confusion, and there are good reasons for it, particularly because our situation here on the Cape is rather unique of this, having the stress of a second home community. I mean, the basic fact is that our housing market on the Cape has nothing to do with our local economy. It is, and particularly on the outer Cape, it's really driven by the second and retiree housing market and salaries off Cape. And so therefore, not only do we have traditional affordable housing, which is people who make 80% of the area median income and less, and that's kind of housing that is eligible for subsidies and assistance in both constructing and renting. So we've got that, and that's just for that's about $49,000 for a single person. So $49,000 and less is traditional affordable housing. But then once you get a two earner household on most of Cape Cod, you are above that 80% of area median income. Yet you still can't compete with somebody who's making $250,000 a year and lives in Boston and can easily pay. Mm-hmm. In Truro, where I live, is the median home price is over $750,000. And so we have what we sometimes refer to as community housing or workforce housing. Although I think it's really important to remember that the folks who are living in 80% in subsidized housing, 80% below, you know, at the Community Development Partnership, we provide about 72 units that fit that definition. 95% of the people who live in our housing work and work full time. they're just not getting paid enough. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the people who are working, earning less than $20 an hour, the people bagging our groceries, taking care of the elderly, of, you know, home health care aides, all of those folks work hard, work full time, but they don't make enough to even surpass the threshold of affordable housing.
Yeah. I just want to say something about the second homeowners. You can see not only why it's attractive to have a second home here. I mean, it's beautiful, but we have a low tax base. So
absolutely.
this is a lot of reason why some of the folks come here versus somewhere else in the state is because our taxes are among the lowest. Go ahead, Heather.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit more about what we learned taking a global look at the housing market on Cape Cod. And Jay's absolutely right that the housing market and the economy are so closely tied on Cape Cod. It's really difficult to know which drives the other. But we do know, based on an economic and demographic forecast that we developed to help us understand the baseline needs of the housing market, is that we're projected to grow. So some of the projections for a loss in population, we don't see that that's going to occur. We're likely to see a growth of about 8,000 persons between now and 2025, or 7,000 persons and 8,000 jobs. Now, that job structure is based on what our existing economy is. So we're not likely to see a growth in jobs that are high-wage jobs. We're likely to see a growth in jobs that are similar to the job structure that we have now. However, you know, when you throw in a context with focus groups and working with employers, one of the constraints they have in growing their businesses and growing more sustainable incomes are the inability of their employees to find housing. Mm-hmm. So there is this cycle that we're in. We need to find a way to unlock that cycle. And a couple of the details that we learned that I still find really interesting is that for wage earners earning 100% to 120% of the median income across the Cape, the housing market suggests that there's a housing supply out there, that supply exists, mm-hmm. that if you're earning $80,000 a year, there is a $325,000 home out there. We all know that that's the proverbial needle in the haystack. And the reality is those housing units, while they exist in the marketplace, they're being consumed by individuals or households that are paying less than 30% of their income on housing. So it's because this market is so attractive to retirees. We know that they made very logical life decisions to remain in homes that they've paid off or that they were able to pay cash for and live a modest lifestyle on Cape Cod. But that creates a housing market that's locked up. And we need to find a way to unlock that and create opportunity for those earning the median wage. And part of the way we do that, and what we think we need to do, is think a little bit more about housing choice and housing preference. We know that 80% of our housing stock is single-family homes, mm-hmm. that a very small portion are either multifamily or rentals. And so the housing choice across the Cape is incredibly limited, which influences and perpetuates the cycle right. that we're in.
Yeah. I think we remember back, I don't know how many years ago, when Peter Francis was here, the demographer, and he said, you people need some rentals, you know, because young people don't necessarily want to buy right away, and we don't have a lot of options for them, which then right. drives them to move off Cape. And when you were mentioning that about some of the problems the employers have, I was thinking, I know of an employer who had told me when he gets a good manager that's in the service industry and they're having trouble, he will actually help them with a down payment on their house to keep them, because it's, you know, hard to find, you know, that the kind of employee and manager that they, you know.
And you'll find that, I think, throughout the Cape and mm-hmm. Islands, of people really trying to help out with the housing problem. When they have good employees, they really right. want to make sure they stay. And I always tell people, if you want to see how bad it can get, you look to places like Truro, Provincetown, Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard, because it's gotten so extreme in those places of the lack of affordability for really the average worker. People mm-hmm. who are managing stores and managing restaurants, they're making decent salaries. We just finished, or we're finishing up, a neighborhood on Nantucket, 40 single-family homes on Nantucket for affordable prices for people making up to 150% of the median income, because, again, everything's relative. It's so skewed there, because on Nantucket, the average price of a single-family home is now $2 million. And so people can make extremely good salaries and still not be able to find an affordable place to live. And so those units, the 40 units We had the housing lottery, and many people applied to get those units. And these are people whose families have been on Nantucket for generations, people who are the very backbone of that economy, people who manage the stores and restaurants. We have a museum director, firemen, teachers, all those people that we value having in our community who needed a place to live and are really delighted to be in this neighborhood on Nantucket.
Right. The barrier to business growth, I think, is really key here. We at the Community Development Partnership also work to support small businesses through training and technical assistance and microlending. And you talk to any business person, and they'll tell you the biggest barrier to their business growing is the lack of employees due to the lack of affordable housing. And one of my big concerns is that while a lot of employers, larger employers, are definitely solving their own housing problems for their employees, that becomes another big barrier for young, small people getting started who don't have the access to capital to buy a house for their employees. And what does that do to the entrepreneurial pipeline on the Cape, not having the access to housing for small employers or people just starting out?
866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to join the conversation. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking about affordable housing and potential solutions with Jay Coburn, CEO of the Community Development Partnership and one of the creators of the Housing Institute, Laura Reckford, Director of Community Relations at the Housing Assistance Corporation, the other nonprofit heading up the Housing Institute, and Heather Harper, Community Design Affordable Housing Specialist with the Cape Cod Commission. 866-999-4626 is our number. The email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Do we know about the availability of affordable housing within the different towns? I mean, different towns are at different areas, right, Heather?
Yeah, every town has achieved a different level of affordability. You know, from a regional standpoint, we don't see that as the most effective strategy, taking a look at the housing market in Cape Cod, particularly because the Cape Cod housing market is different and it is a regional market. One of the big takeaways for me from the report is if we can find a way to reduce stress in the market, whether it's at a particular income level, regardless of income level, or at any particular location, it will reduce stress across the market. We know that folks commute across the Cape for housing. As much as we can support increases in housing affordability across the Cape, will result in improvements in any location on the Cape. So one of the things that we'll do in terms of implementing a regional strategy is talk about creating housing supply strategies and goals across the Cape, not focusing on the who's going to live there. Mm-hmm. How are we going to build it? We know that as we reach build out, we're looking at projecting supporting another 30,000 housing units across the Cape under current build out conditions. So the question really comes is, how do we want to see those 30,000 units consumed or built on Cape Cod?
All right. So we know there's a finite amount of space that can be developed, and we hear this term build out.
Right.
And so I've heard people say, oh, we're already built out in Falmouth, or, you know, it's like, so what does built out mean and where are we?
You'd be amazed that, you know, we could, if Heather talked about 80%+ of our housing is single family houses on an acre lot, and we could take up another 30,000 acres and meet the need that way. And that would turn Cape Cod into suburban sprawl. Mm. And it is the most expensive a way to develop in terms of the cost to a municipality of maintaining roads and dealing with wastewater. Or we could get really smart and increase the density in our village centers. And we have village centers throughout the Cape. Even in North Truro, we have a little village center where, you know, in my judgment, if we wanted to be building some significant housing in Truro at all income levels, that's where we should focus it. Downtown Orleans, downtown Hyannis, if we could look at 12 to 18 units or more per acre, we could meet that need, do it in a place where we can handle the wastewater in a cost-effective manner, where we're not going to contribute to more traffic. People can walk to work, walk to stores, and continue to preserve the rural character of so many of our towns and not build out every single one of those 30,000 acres.
Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense, too, in a sense that, you know, with our number of retirees we have here, to be able to kind of live near all the action and walk to get your groceries or to go get your coffee, whatever, it makes sense.
And for so many, you know, seniors, too, you know, they live in towns where if they want to downsize out of their three-bedroom house, they have to leave town. There's
right.
no,
no
there aren't condominiums for them, or there aren't one-bedroom apartments where they don't have to worry about maintenance and plowing the snow and shoveling the walk and all that.
And I think we see some real creative opportunities to make that happen. On a regional level, we know that infrastructure, water, wastewater are really going to be the drivers to meet and sustain the natural beauty that we have. But that's going to cost significantly the taxpayers and the ratepayers and the consumers of those. If we start to plan for housing supply, at the same time we're planning for our infrastructure improvements and build the capacity in to support modest growth in those systems at the same time, and really thinking about what's happening in the commercial marketplace. We know that the way people purchase things is changing, and the retail environment that we have is likely to change. If we can re-envision those retail locations that are supported by infrastructure and have the capacity to support a little bit more compact form than we're accustomed to, we're likely to not only provide a housing opportunity and choice for residents of Cape Cod and those desiring to be here, but we may also decrease the cost of supporting the infrastructure needed.
Yep.
So there are some great opportunities.
We mentioned, well, we won't talk about wastewater today other than we're going to do that on Thursday. We're talking so tune in for that conversation on Thursday. Joining us on the phone now is Laura Schofield. She's the Assistant Director of Community Assistance for Massachusetts Housing Partnership, and she'll be one of the presenters at the Housing Institute. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. One of the topics you'll be covering in the Institute is housing production plan. So what are some of the things that go into that planning process?
So the housing production plan is really a specific plan that is detailed in the state's 40B guidelines. For towns to plan for affordable housing, to look at, first of all, look at the needs in their town, or in their region, because there are regional plans, to look at who needs housing, what type of housing is desired, and then most importantly, where it's going to go. So after they look at the needs, the town and the folks putting the plans together look at where in the town is it most appropriate to increase density and put housing choices other than single-family homes, and sometimes single-family homes, because in cluster developments that might be appropriate for certain areas that multifamily would not be appropriate, mm-hmm. and come up at the end with a strategic plan that lists for the next 3 years or 5 years the strategies and the production in order to move the town closer to their goal of affordable housing.
Mm. We talk about 40B housing, and Jay, you touched on this earlier. Everybody's for affordable housing until it's in your neighborhood. And I think in a lot of ways 40B does get a bad rap. There are some good components to it, right?
Yes, absolutely. 40B can be used proactively because, quite frankly, to change zoning, it takes two-thirds vote in right now at town meeting or with town council to change zoning. And that's a real heavy lift at town meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take too many folks to deep six those plans. And so using 40B to achieve your goals to override the local zoning in order to produce the housing that you need is a way that a lot of towns have worked to get affordable housing that they need.
Other thoughts on 40B?
And I was just going to say one of the things for that the Housing Institute will do, and Laura being one of the presenters will help with this, is to have towns be proactive so that they're not just responding willy-nilly to 40Bs, as Jay was talking earlier, and sort of going into panic mode. They're being proactive, doing the housing production plan, planning for it. So when a developer comes to town, they can say, this is where we would like our affordable housing to be. And they are working with the developer to put it where the town wants it to go, keeping the culture and character of the town in mind. Mm. And so that whole proactive thing is really the point of the Institute.
Yeah. Go ahead, Heather.
Yeah, I think the some of the consequences of using the Comprehensive Permit Act really results in housing by exception rather than by rule. And so if you could harness that tool to build housing in location that makes sense for your community, then it works wonderfully. But what we're seeing across the Cape is affordable housing being constructed in areas that was not anticipated for housing. Mm-hmm. And that results in an increased service cost for the community. I'd say you'd really want to think about the quality of life for the residents in those locations. We're using, you know, former commercial areas, industrial areas that were really not anticipated for human habitation. Mm-hmm. So we need to really do some of the land use planning to recognize that those areas are likely to convert into housing as the market demands that. We have a need for 27,000 units today. The market's going to respond to that, whether it's the affordable housing market or whether it's by right. Mm-hmm. You're likely to see an increase in housing demand across the Cape. How are we going to support that and where? And those are the things that we're really interested in.
Yeah. You know, I think Heather makes such a great point of you know, really wanting to put affordable housing using smart growth strategies in places where it makes sense. Is why are we going to burden a family who's already struggling with forcing them to have a car, maintain one or two cars, because that's the only way to get from where we've built this affordable housing to where they work and shop. And so that's why having zoning that would actually facilitate or really target areas for development would be so much better, not only for the town, but also for the residents.
And Laura also touched on how zoning can influence the place and type of affordable housing. So thinking of that, most people say zoning and it's like, you know, zoning, you know. So what are ways we engage communities and residents in planning affordable housing so the community becomes supportive rather than opposed and really understands these complications of zoning?
Well, you know, I think one of the things with zoning is that a lot of members of the public or even people on regulatory zoning boards and planning boards will hear density and like, oh, my gosh, mm-hmm. we're going to get mm-hmm. turned into metropolitan Boston. And, you know, I think there's another way to look at it. And when I think about what are like the really cute Cape Cod seaside towns that we all love and enjoy visiting, Chatham, Provincetown, Falmouth, Woods Hole. Well, those are all places that really have incredible density. And that is the way our ancestors actually built out the Cape, was sticking together in these small little villages. And we have the opportunity in other places, in Orleans, in East Harwich, in North Eastham, to create that kind of community, that kind of walkable area where there is housing and retail and work, and then ties to public transportation. And so density is our friend. Mm-hmm. Density is not going to ruin Cape Cod.
And most of those villages that Jay just mentioned couldn't be built today under existing zoning, because zoning has changed so that you wouldn't be able to put housing in a retail area or at that density.
And across the nation, you're really seeing the conversation turn more to what is the community going to look like and what is the form rather than the use. So if you focus on what does compact form look like and spend less time worrying about what's going to occur behind the walls, who's going to live there, and spend a little bit more time focusing on form and telegraphing out to the development community, whether it's the by right or nonprofit affordable housing developers, what the community would like to see there in terms of form, then you're likely to get proposals that are significantly more responsive to what the community's desires are.
Laura, before we let you go, anything else you want to add?
I think kind of to go back a little, first to say that Mass Housing Partnership, besides being a rental financer and the administrator of the One Mortgage, we do community assistance throughout the state, providing direct technical assistance. But we also have just launched the Housing Data Center. And so we are ramping up to provide the kind of data that is needed to back up some of our arguments. And I would encourage everyone to go to our website, mhp.net, and look up our data center.
You bet. Laura Schufelt is the Assistant Director of Community Assistance for Massachusetts Housing Partnership and will be one of the presenters at the Housing Institute. Laura, thanks for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. Also on the phone, Jill Neubauer, Architects. Jill is part of the Housing Now collaboration to bring attractive, affordable housing to communities. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
All right, so Jill, tell us what Housing Now is.
We started a partnership. Michael Galasso from TRI approached my office to ask if we would be interested in participating in the Cape Cod Young Professionals call for a competition for affordable housing. And so he brought together Christian Valley, who's the builder from Valley and Valley, and myself, my firm, and we brought in Bernice Waller, landscape architect. So we came together to prepare a competition proposal for an affordable housing strategy.
And so one of the things, in the Cape Cod...
The competition was due a week and a half ago, and so we looked at the design of one-bedroom, two-bedroom, three-bedroom units with an accessory dwelling unit, which was just passed through the Falmouth Zoning Board last spring, and thought about different ways of tackling what Heather said is, what does a compact form look like that would be ideal for the Cape town?
Yeah. I was going to say, the Cape Cod Times did a story, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and we all looked at it and we went, you know, that's a really cute little house. So this is affordable housing can be attractive.
Absolutely, affordable housing can be attractive. Either through, you know, small single family units or you know, multifamily, it can all, you know, be just as beautiful as market rate units.
So, Jill, tell us some of the key features of the design.
Well, I think, you know, starting with that point, that not only can it be attractive, I think it's essential that it be attractive because of aesthetic dignity and aesthetic justice, that there's so much judgment and resistance to affordable housing, as you started off your first comment, everybody's for it until it's in your neighborhood. And so we feel strongly that the desire to make these homes attractive and fresh is critical, because every home is a public and a private gesture. And so not only do we want these homes to be wonderful to live in, but we want the community to look at these buildings and say, that's a fresh design, that fits in, and it's exciting. Mm-hmm. And so that's really important. So the way that we tackled that was to design from the inside out to make the most efficient footprint, which means letting go of some traditional American ideas of a full living room with a big sofa or a dining space with a table and chairs around it. And it allowed us to look at European ideas of a large, joyful, high-functioning kitchen where you can have homework and newspapers and laptops, but you can also have enough room to sit at the table and have friends over. So that as houses get smaller and more efficiently designed, you don't feel like everything is little. Mm-hmm. You can still live in a big way in your kitchen, but maybe your living room is a little smaller or it's partly involved in the kitchen. And that was one of the critical things, is just looking at how to modify and shift the organization of the living space.
Yeah. Heather, you have a question?
Well, I think the Cape is in a position to take advantage of some national and international trends, and I really appreciate the way Jill talks about these issues and the importance of the public reflection of housing in the landscape, because that really is what Cape Cod is about. It's about the traditional village lifestyle, and we need to recognize that, you know, we're moving on. It's a more modern environment, and urbanization is something that's happening across the nation, and the desire to live in a more compact environment is what more than 50% of the total population, according to the Pew Institute, has found. So that desire and what that preference for housing is across the nation and on Cape Cod, we have an opportunity to meet some of those desires, both do that more affordably and perhaps meet some of the preference demand of those who may be spending less than 30% of their income in living in housing that, if it were freed up, would be available for the marketplace. Yeah. So I see some real opportunities to start unlocking this market, mm-hmm. breaking the cycle that we have. It's going to need to happen on a regional basis. The idea of doing it on a town-by-town basis, the numbers just simply aren't there right. if you're aiming towards a 0.5% of housing every year.
All right, Jill, before we let you go, cost. I know people are going, well, what does this cost?
Yeah, so the way that costs really get reduced is by making simple forms and reducing the size, as Heather was just saying. So an example, our one-bedroom unit is 573 square feet. And taking out the market rate of $170 a foot, that's at $100,000. The two-bedroom, we're an accessory dwelling unit that can be a rental in the communities that support this. You know, that is 1,268 square feet. And so with three bedrooms with a rental unit, it comes at $225,000.
Wow.
So it's really making these buildings much smaller and more cost-effective.
Yeah. Jill Neubauer from Jill Neubauer Architects, part of Housing Now. Jill, thanks. We'll keep our eye open for what's coming up next. Appreciate your time.
Good luck in the finals.
Yeah. Let's talk to Stephen, who's calling from Chatham. Hi, Stephen.
Hello.
Hi.
Is there a website or something, or maybe an email list that we can join to find out when the training in 2018 will happen? And the second part is... The term affordable housing, which I put in quotes, is used to describe workforce housing, not workforce housing. And I think if there was one thing to clear up, it would be that there's these different definitions that different people use,
right.
different federal agencies, different groups. And that would clear up a lot mm-hmm. if people would say, well, what I'm talking about is workforce, not affordable, or affordable in the general sense. It's just very confusing.
Yeah, we sort of brought this up a little bit ago. But yeah, Stephen, thanks for that. And we will have links, by the way, to all of our organizations on our website, capeandislands.org. But Laura,
and I was
as far
just
going
to say to sign up for, to indicate your interest for the advocacy training that will start in early 2018, you can go to our website, hackoncapecod.org, and there's a link to sign up that you're interested in. Then we'll be in touch with you as we schedule that. And then to sign up and register for the Housing Institute that starts next week, you can either go to hackoncapecod.org or capecdp.org to sign up and register for the Housing Institute that starts next Wednesday.
And of course, I said we'll have links to that. And we are going to talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking about affordable housing with Jay Coburn, CEO of the Community Development Partnership, one of the creators of the Housing Institute, Laura Reckford, Director of Community Relations at the Housing Assistance Corporation, the other nonprofit heading up the Housing Institute, and Heather Harper, Community Design Affordable Housing Specialist with the Cape Cod Commission. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number if you'd like to join the conversation. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. And Ann Kutzpah, Executive Director of Housing Nantucket, is giving us a call. Hi, Ann.
Hi.
All right, Ann, tell us, you've got some things going on in Nantucket, some new four new affordable rental homes coming up?
Yep, that's right. We completed four rental homes this summer and then into the fall, and we're really excited about that. That makes 33 units of scattered site rental housing. And the way we did this was... a unique way to Nantucket, I think, it's through house recycling. So what happens is a homeowner who has a dwelling that they don't need anymore will donate it to our organization, and then we will relocate the building with some extra cash from the donor through our Community Investment Tax Credit Program, which is a state tax credit program. We will use the money to relocate the building and then rehab it and rent it out to 60 to 80% area median income Islanders. And we're able to do this through our partnerships with the town and other organizations. We get the land donated to us from the town, And then the Affordable Housing Trust Fund has helped us with funding, as well as community preservation grants. So we're really, really excited about this.
And you would think, well, why would somebody donate their house? It's probably more expensive for them to pay the tipping fees and all that for tearing it down than it is to donate it. But and so not every house that's donated can be moved, right? So, I mean, they have to be in you know, pretty good condition.
Absolutely. Structurally sound, as well as being less than 22 feet wide so that we can move it over the road without having to cut it. The real reason why we're able to do this, I think, is through the Community Investment Tax Credit Program through the state. And I haven't heard you talk about that yet, but it is a capability that we have through the state where 50% of cash donations are awarded back to the donor through tax credit. So it's something through the DHCD and the Department of Revenue. So the donor will get the federal tax benefit of the donation as well as this tax credit. So that's been really helpful in helping us raise money. And we raised over $300,000 last year through the program. And then this year we're starting again.
Yeah, I would say that's a good incentive. We don't see much house moving, though, on the Cape, do we?
There a little bit of it, and we've done a little bit of it at the Community Development Partnership. I think one of the challenges that can happen is that managing scattered site single family rental homes is a lot more expensive over the long term than if you have multifamily houses. Mm-hmm. So that when you've got a maintenance person running from one house to the next house to the next house and putting 100 miles on their car and spending in the summertime 4 hours in traffic, that's a much more expensive management cost of rental housing than doing multifamily.
Yeah, and you mentioned the four houses, and I think Heather mentioned there's 27,000. We have a need for 27,000 more affordable homes. Do we know what the need is on Nantucket?
Well, I know that it ranges, really, based on what affordability level you're talking about. But we did a study in 2015, which called for, I think it was about 240 units from that point.
Yeah. All right. Ann Kutzpuff, Executive Director of Housing Nantucket. Thanks, Ann, for letting us know what's happening on Nantucket. Appreciate your call. The Cape is kind of a bit strange in that, aside from Hyannis, we have these small pocket villages and a lot of residential sprawl in between. This, coupled with limited public transportation, means that you can't always place affordable housing close to where people work. Employment's is this a problem?
I mean, I think it is a problem because we tend to take land wherever it might be available. And I think I was really interested to hear Jill earlier talk about her costs per unit for affordable housing, which sound really reasonable.
Attractive.
But they don't take into account, though, if you can't get the land for free, then that really starts to drive up the cost to the average affordable unit on Cape Cod is over $300,000 per unit. And land is really can drive that even higher when you have to pay a lot. And so, I think that's the challenges. And one of the things we want to do at the Housing Institute is help towns really do a survey of land that is available or even land that's being underutilized, as retail is more and more challenged because of online shopping. There's a lot of underutilized retail. The town of Orleans has recently undertaken a comprehensive study of their whole downtown area, and one of the findings there is that there is way more retail space in Orleans than is needed. And fortunately, a zoning bylaw was just passed to allow some of that retail to be converted also to housing. Housing or mixed use, and that is a much better solution than, say, if we found 10 acres off in a faraway area of town that isn't accessible to public transportation.
Well, that's also the accessory apartment bylaws that we're talking about that Falmouth passed in the spring. That's why it's such a great solution, because you're not looking for additional land somewhere. You're using the existing housing to create more affordable housing.
Right. But communities are on to this issue across the Cape. Unfortunately, we know it's 15 towns and three or four different agencies in every town that need to be consulted with and take action to result in a zoning change. But we do know that Orleans has taken that change and implemented implemented a more dense zoning in their downtown. The limitation, of course, is their ability to meet the wastewater demand, mm-hmm. And they have plans for that, but they're not exactly there yet. But the idea of planning for housing at the same time as we're planning for the infrastructure needs of the Cape, to me, that is the secret sauce that's necessary. And think about the town of Barnstable. They're very well aware of this. We know that based on the market analysis across the Cape, that there's too much retail across the Cape. And so we know nationally that malls are dying. Mm-hmm. That isn't a land use that we expect to continue to see. So we have an opportunity with these retail plazas, and the town of Barnstable is very well aware that they have multiple retail plazas that are likely to change in the next decade.
Let's go to Philippe Jordy, who's the executive director of Island Housing Trust in Martha's Vineyard. Hi, Philippe.
Hey, Mindy. How are you?
Good. So tell us what's going on in the vineyard. You've got some exciting things happening on the affordable housing front.
Sure. On the other island. So the Island Housing Trust is a nonprofit organization, and we've recently launched what we're calling our Vision 2020, which is to create 100 new homes by the end of 2020. It's a fairly ambitious goal, but we feel it's important in light of the fact that all of the island towns, all six island towns, have created what they call these housing production plans. And collectively, the six island towns have identified the need for approximately 300 new homes over the next 4 years. So we are really working in conjunction with the town to start identifying suitable properties, both town-owned and private, in order to create new housing. And it's, as I mentioned before, both at the affordable level, less than 80%, and also above 80%, what would be considered moderate and middle-income housing. And we're doing that in different ways, but ultimately what we've really what we're focusing on is being more proactive as opposed to reactive and identifying, working with, for instance, the Martha's Vineyard Commission and some of the GIS information and assessors data to be able to start looking at those properties that are suitable, notably ones that have connections to town water and preferably town sewer as well, where we can do higher density development, what we're calling these kind of pocket neighborhoods of between 5 and 10 units of housing.
Yeah, and you've also, we talked about the importance of having rental opportunities, and you just broke ground on 9 rental apartments in West Tisbury, right?
Yes, we did just last week. So that was really an effort that was led by the town of West Tisbury under a bylaw that they have that allows for higher density development. So similar to what a 40B would allow, the town of West Tisbury adopted our zoning bylaw that allows for that. And they also stepped up in a major way in terms of raising CPA funding, $1.4 million in CPA funding. And the state saw that, and they recognized that because of the town's commitment, both in terms of leasing land and raising funds, that they were going to apply these new sorts of funding that the state has come up with called a community-scale housing initiative for $900,000.
Hi, Philippe Jordy, Executive Director of the Island Housing Trust. Philippe, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. I want to get Matt Patrick in real quick before we run out of time. Good morning, Matt.
Hi, Mindy. How are you?
Good. So, Matt Patrick, former state representative, you want to tell us about a bike ride coming up that's going to benefit Falmouth Homelessness Prevention Trust.
Yes, we have the Curlin Murray Memorial Bike Ride that we're sponsoring through Falmouth Housing Corporation to preserve the memory of these two great men who made Falmouth such a better place to live. And it's going to be dedicated to all the funds are going to go to homelessness prevention, which is a very important facet of this whole affordable housing issue, because so many people on the Cape work in the service industry where wages are very low. They have an accident, their car doesn't start, they miss a payment on their mortgage or their rent, and they could be out of the house. So these funds will be dedicated to keeping them and their families in their homes. So it's a great cause. It's going to be a fun ride, 30 miles or 9 miles, depending on
whatever you want to do, and they can learn more about it at falmouthhousingcorp.org /bike ride.
Right. And we'll have a link to that at our website. Matt, thanks for letting us know about that. And I should mention, for people who go, hey, I'm just one person, what could I do? Look at Bob Murray and Peter Kerwin and what they were able to accomplish, as, and Bob, not just in Falmouth, across the Cape. I think we're going to have part two. There's so much more we didn't get to talk about that we hopefully will be able to do in the future. So Heather Harper, Community Design Affordable Housing Specialist with Cape Cod Commission, Laura Reckford, Director of Community Relations at the Housing Assistance Corporation, Jay Coburn, CEO of the Community Development Partnership, partners in the Housing Institute. Well, thanks so much for being here. And we'll have links to everybody's websites at our website, capeandislands.org. Thank you.
Thanks,
you.
Mindy.
Thank you.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thank you for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.